So, Dr.
Mohamed. The Yates has taken off his nose from Frank Beckson in Potsdam, Germany, who had last-minute visa problems. So, no sprechen Sie Deutsch, bitte. Sprechen Sie Englisch. So that's what we'll do. We'll speak English. So maybe it's a good thing I'm here. Well, it's certainly a thrill to be able to give Frank's talk. Spent half a day yesterday trying to figure out what he did, so I'll muddle through it with y'all and try to make some sense of it. But this is a rather interesting and exciting database that was collected over a four-year period during FACE experiments in Maricopa, Arizona. So this is this will be elevated CO2 concentration. And there are two-year studies. One is a CO2 by water study, and one is a CO2 by nitrogen study. So it's essentially a four-year database that we're going to try to distill down. So the main players here are Frank, myself, Bruce Kimball's in the audience, and Gabriel Vexen, who's with the German equivalent of the Environmental Protection Agency. I would note that Potsdam Institute for Climatic Impact Research is a major research institute in Germany, and actually it was one of the last places that Albert Einstein worked before he fled Germany prior to World War II in 1933. So it has quite a bit of history. It's more of a classical physical institute. A lot of astrophysicists. In fact, I spent a sabbatical there, and it's actually a very intriguing device known as the Einsteinstrom, which is something that measures something about the soul or something. So I thought it was kind of fascinating. So I guess I just do what? Just press?
Okay.
Yeah. There we go. Okay, so essentially we're going to look at, and some of this, I left the rhetoric in Frank's German English just so to give it the extra flavor. So we're going to look at information about source to sink relationships. And what I'll say is that for the most part, there's very little data globally on the effects of elevated CO2 on below ground processes, namely root development of a wheat crop throughout its ontogeny. And that's what we're going to talk about. And we're going to be hopefully getting more detailed calculations about soil carbon input and sequestering. And this is important for ecosystem. So we're going to be looking at the effects of elevated CO2 on shoot-root relationships. Root-shoot relationships in average is not affected by higher CO2 is one of our hypotheses going in. Adheres to what's known as the functional equivalent hypothesis in terms of the system balancing itself. And what we're going to find is, as we go through this, we're going to be exploring the question as to whether or not any type of CO2 effect or CO2 enhancement that occurs at any one growth stage is persistent, or is it compensated for in some other growth stage. And we're going to be looking at this stimulation and root growth on elevated CO2 that is only temporary and aim to fulfill whatever need there is at the time. But if that need goes away, then the system balances itself out and goes back into equilibrium. And the carbon storage in below ground organs happens mainly to buffer above ground growth. So essentially the roots are responding to the above ground growth. So the signal for the root to shoot relationship appears to be coming from the shoot in terms of controlling the roots. So the FACE experiment was a very large scale multi-interdisciplinary study where we fumigated large 25 meter rings with CO2. We had a lot of people involved. There's Bruce right there. I'm here, and other people like Rick Garcia and Paul Pinner and a bunch of other people here. Rick Roki collecting some temperature data. The bottom line is we had CO2 concentrations of 550 above ambient. We had soil water for the 92-94, 93-94 seasons, and nitrogen for the 95, 96, 96, 97. We planted in December, so you know, it basically carried over a little bit of 92 and mostly into 93, and the same thing for the other years. Anyway, we had a wet treatment and a dry treatment. Dry was 50% replacement of ET. We had a high end and a low end, but for this study, we're only going to look at 4 years under well-watered and an ample nitrogen supply. This is a rather big, large, robust data set. We're only going to look at a very small piece of it. It's the data set that keeps on giving, because this, as we look at some of the results that come out of this, this is just a very small fraction of the data. We collected root cores to a meter deep over multiple growth stages, vegetative and reproductive. They like to, the Germans like to refer to it as generative. This is a schematic taken from this reference here of a root system, and these are the depths that we collected. Parameters are weight, shoot dry weight per plant, shoot dry weight, and yield, grain yield of the plants above the root cores. So all the masses are based on plants that were taken above the root cores, and all, of course, the root masses is both in row and inter row. So all the data is going to be expressed on a grams per meter squared, so we collapse all the depth data and the in-row and inter-row data to come up with one number that represents these variables under a grams per meter squared basis. Other work and other papers will have looked at things by depth and between-row and in-row, but for this analysis, it's all the data collapsed into one number for a given growth stage, and there were 6 growth stages each year across 4 years, so there's 24 data points. Well, we did a, looking at just the main CO2 effect, I want to give you a little flavor for what kind of effects we did see. Here's, so we broke it into vegetative and reproductive growth, which is our growth position. This is CO2 effect in percent. You got 93 and 94, 96 and 97, so this was broken down into the control data for 93, 94, and the control data for 96, 97. The reason why there's a little difference here is because these controls were called controls, and then these were called blowers, because the so-called blower effect changing some of the energy dynamics in the system that came on board during these years. But then you have the reproductive, again, the 93, 94, 96, 97. So you have broken up into 3 phases for vegetative, 3 phases for reproductive. And so if you, the first thing I want to just make the point that you got a fair amount of variability from year to year and from sample to sample, both in shoots and in roots. And this is a function of intra-annual variability. And from that, you have to sort of tease out what the treatment effect is. But overall, we get about an 18% enhancement in the shoot and about a 16% enhancement in the root. And the yield yield enhancement is depicted here. And these levels of significance are at the 10%, 5%, and 0.01%, respectively. So we did get significant differences in most of the instances due to CO2 with regard to shoots and roots. And again, these data here are specifically the data associated with the root cores and the plant samples above the root cores. Other mass was collected on a much larger ground area basis, and the results are similar, but they're slightly different. The effects are consistent. Well, what we did is we went in there, and Frank is a statistician at heart, and he likes to look at cumulative frequency distributions. And so he took all the phase effects from the prior slide, and he created a cumulative frequency distribution with these data with n equal 24. And one thing you notice here is that the effect is slightly skewed. We have a skewed distribution. It looks rather normal, but it's Gaussian, but it actually is slightly skewed, and it's skewed to the order of about 5 or 6% to a positive effect. And also you notice a little kurtosis in the relationship you don't get, the tails are slightly different, but for the most part, you're getting a fairly good normal distribution. Well, this distribution was then used to calculate another distribution, or to generate another distribution, and that distribution has to do with the change in the phase effect as you move from one growth stage to the next. So in this case, the distribution is based on T plus 1 as opposed to T. So if the first phase you collected data was the three leaf stage and the next stage was killering, the delta T would be the difference in the percent change or the percent CO2 effect as you move from one stage to the next. So if you collect the data for six stages, you compare 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4, 4 to 5, 5 to 6, and you do it across all the 4 years, and you wind up with N equal 20, and this is the type of distribution you get. And again, it's pretty flat up here, and these distributions were then looked at to look at some correlations. And what happened is if you plot the phase effect T as opposed to the delta phase T, which is the T plus 1 T, in other words, A phase and then the next phase and the percent change between those, and see whether or not there's any consistency in terms of the percent change. What you find is that what may be happening between a change in one growth stage to another may not be the same as happening from the next growth stage to another, such that there's some sort of compensation occurring. So that if you, in 1 year, 94, for instance, there was a really wet, cool, early growth season, so we got really strong root growth. And the CO2 effect was very, very strong on the order of greater 15-20%. But that was later compensated for later in the growing season. So what Frank came up with was this little concept that if you look at the relationships where the root to shoot ratio, now this is the ratio data, at the sample time t, if the CO2 effect at sample time t was greater than 15%, and there turned out to be 6 of the 24 data points, 3 up here and 3 down here, well, first thing you notice is that they follow pretty much across the 101 line in terms of the effect. Here are your positive effects, here are your negative effects. So sometimes you have positive effects, sometimes you have negative effects, but for the most part, the positive effects, if you had a positive effect at one time, you might have a negative effect at another time. If you had a negative effect at one time, you might have a positive effect at the other time. And they all converged around this equilibrium point on the one-to-one line as opposed to being scattered across the effects, which is an indication that the system, which receives a perturbation, whether it's positive or negative, it adheres to the functional hypothesis of the balance between shoot and root, and it comes back into the homostasis and the equilibrium state. Which I think is actually rather fundamental finding. It has to do essentially when you create a perturbance in a system and you get an oscillation, that eventually you get a dampening type of sine wave and you come back to a new steady state. So the question is, if you perturb the system, are you going to have this frequency response, and eventually it's going to become dampening and settle down. And then the question is, does it settle down at the same steady state, or does it have a new steady state? And it appears with regard to root-shoot ratio that the data is settling down at the same steady state, which from a modeling standpoint indicates that if you get the shoot mass right, then if you have your ratio, then you have a pretty good estimate of what's going below ground. So a lot of the work needed to get the below ground data has enabled us to come up with an acceptance of the functional hypothesis of homeostasis. Well, if you come up with the CO2 enhancement of the root shoot ratio at sample time t lower than 15%, you get this represents 20 data points of the 24. Well, actually, 16 data points, get the same type of effect. So if you have one cycle, if you get an enhancement, that's compensated back to the steady state. And if you get a negative effect, you're going to come back to a positive effect. And you're going to hover around this one-to-one line in terms of the effect. Although there's a lot more scatter in the data. Well, these are all the data. This is the n equals 20, and you can see this is the greater than 15%, less than 15% CO2 effect, and you get a pretty good agreement here. Now, I learned something new when I was speaking to my colleague over in Germany, who's quite a good statistician, about this spurious correlations. And it has to do with the fact that if you have a correlation between two independent variables, and then one of the independent variables is used to derive another variable, and then you derive a correlation with that, then you essentially have like an embedded correlation within your correlation. And in that case, you have to do a special test. And it turned out that we had a correlation coefficient about 0.707, negative, of course. But the total correlation was 0.87, which was significant compared to the superlative correlation. So this was a highly significant effect. Well, we also did this kind of stuff for further correlations of R, looking at the phase effect at sample time T, and subsequent change in phase effect between T and T plus 1, which again is this superlative correlation. And we looked at just the roots, and we found that the correlation was lower, or I should say it was less negative than the ratio, but nevertheless the trend was the same. And similarly for the shoots, and the significance of that is that the balance between the shoots and, oh, I take it back, the shoots were insignificant, whereas the roots were significant, indicating that the balance between the roots and the shoots is primarily controlled by the below ground growth. Well, in summary, simulation of root growth under elevated CO2 is linked to the functional request for above ground biomass for additional water and nitrogen acquisition and intermediate carbon storage. So carbon stored as a reserve in crown tissue or shoots or in root tissue, where is it going to be translocated? Where is it going to be used? And it seems that the root-shoot ratio is being preserved, and if you get any kind of enhancement due to a CO2 effect at any one growth stage, that effect can even be inverted or minimized or inverted by another growth stage. Changes in root-shoot ratio do not appear in a systematic way across the season. They are only, by systematic, I mean it's systematic in the context that if it's positive one time, it could be negative the next to come back to equilibrium. But that is something that if you look at the data, it's oscillating throughout the entire period. And the plant controls for the same balanced root-shoot relationship on the higher CO2. So the plant controls for the same balanced root-shoot relationship on the higher as under ambient CO2. Plant controls for the same, I don't know what he's trying to say there. But anyway, that's it. And Frank thanks you.
Thank you very much.